Showtime is taking his act on the road to the Twin Cities. Guy doesn't miss a hole. Guy's vision is second to none. Like, he's going to find you daylight, and then he's going to punish you once he gets to you. Oh, by the way, he's a great receiver. Guy hadn't lost a step. Guy's vision is second to none in this business. Still got a whole lot of nasty left in him.
I actually know Aaron, you know, so I already know what kind of guy he is. You know what I'm saying? A great dude, man. And obviously, he's a legend around here just from what he's done in his time that he's been here. You know, I don't really consider myself coming in and, you know, like replacing what he's done. I just try to hold that standard.
Let's go now. Little life out here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the UK Packers podcast. As usual, I'm your host, that's the Diddy NFL on Twitter, and of course, follow the group at UK Packers. Oh, do you mean the news that has gone on? You know, there was jokes out there saying, oh, what are you going to talk about in the next podcast, Steve? I don't know. Oh, God, Aaron Jones, that hit hard. I've even called this podcast the Aaron Jones tribute. You could hear from the sound bites there at the start, you know, kind of what people thought of him. That's Baldy. Baldinger. Give us a look at your Baldinger. And Josh Jacobs as well. So I'm going to dig into it and sort of ask why. You know, because for a moment there, it seemed like we were going to have Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs. And we're like, oh my God, RIP. Defense is around the league. And then they let him go. And then there's stories out there about, you know, bad offers being made or no offers or, you know, and there's a bit of a stink around it. But I'll get into the stinky stuff. I'll get into the comparisons and all that kind of stuff shortly. But I have two bits of news. Number one, patreon.com/UK Packers. You can get a free trip to Lambeau Field. We're talking flights, hotels, you know the jazz by now. Game tickets. If we go see a college game, you get that as well. Packers Hall of Fame is thrown in there. Packers Stadium Tour is thrown in there. Everything. Everything is. You just need to buy a few pints when you go over. Incredible. We did it last year. Callum Kerrison won that prize. And I largely just left him alone. You know what I mean? You win the prize, go over, enjoy yourself. Which he did. So that's patreon.com/UK Packers. Time is running out to get involved. The sooner you get involved, the more spots you have. So I pull out 10 names out of the Patreon list if you're on the Fiverr or Tenner tiers for a chance to go ahead and win that. And the draw for that will be done in August. So the March draw is being done presently, today, tomorrow. So you have April, May, June, July, and then the August draw. So you could have 5 spots in that draw. But if you choose to sort of take the cheap route, you cheap hearers, and get in late, well, then you've only one chance, right? And that means that your name gets pulled out of a hat, 1 in 10, and then you go into the main draw. So do get involved. It is dream stuff. Second off, draft guide, Peter Jones, draft guide at IT Hedgehog. Comes out with this just ridiculous draft guide. Dear God, it makes me weep when I see it. This is what the offseason is all about for me. I don't know what it is about for you. For me, it's about getting through there, delving into the history and all that. And then, boom, we hit the draft guide. It's just unbelievable. It's whatever it is, 300-400 pages of stuff. Peter Jones works on it from 18 months from the date of release. So when is that being released? It's been released on the 11th of April. And then the podcast, if you're aware of the whole process, come out hard and fast after that. So the 11th is the release date for the draft guide, which is exactly 2 weeks before the draft. Then the 13th and 14th, which is that weekend, we record the podcast talking through the offensive side of the draft picks. The next week, 20th and 21st, we talk through the defensive side of stuff. And then about the 23rd, 24th, we release sort of final thoughts, special teams, crazy predictions and how it all could go. Now, what I hate mock drafts, right? And I know people enjoy them and I don't want to be the boo bird and take away your joy. Enjoy them. Right, but I think there's such a load of nonsense, right? It's because someone makes the wrong pick or trades out. The Packers are always guilty of it. And then it just destroys everybody's mock drafts. But have at it, right? But our draft guide is different because Peter does the big board of the top 200 players. He goes through every position. And then he puts a box around sort of like, you know, maybe keep an eye out for this guy. Or does this guy fit the Packers or not? That's what makes this draft guide stand out among so much more. So that's the housekeeping. patreon.com/UK Packers, win a free trip to Lambeau Field. Ridiculous. And then also the draft guide is coming hot and fast. So let's talk about Aaron Jones. There's a lot to talk about. You know, David Bakhtiari's gone and that was kind of foreseen and all that kind of stuff. I think he hitched his wagon to the Aaron Rodgers thing, which there's stuff going on with him lately. I won't even get into it, gladly. Then we had Devondre Campbell being released, and I want to talk about his off-the-wall tweets. And then we've the signing of Josh Jacobs to talk about. We have Xavier McKinney, who is seen as the top safety in free agency, and we ended up bagging him, which is very important because we know that's what the Jeff Hafley defense is centered on, is that really strong safety. Not the strong safety, but a strong safety. I'm a businessman, not a businessman, you know that thing. But the real shocking one was the Aaron Jones release. Now, in the cold light of day, when you look at it, is it that shocking? And I'll come up with reasons why not, and we'll get into a comparison and all of that. But I don't care about age or stats or injuries or anything like that. Aaron Jones, to me, will go down as one of the best, greatest all-time Packers and the greatest all-time people. So I'm around Green Bay a lot. I know a lot of people around the Green Bay area, be it people in Lombardy Avenue in 1265. I know people in the building. On the front office side, and then the like in the humble brag, but I know all of those people, right? And we have President Mark Murphy comes down and speaks to the squad, so I'm embedded, I'm in there, right? I've got some nice mates in there, I've got people in the community, business people in the community that I've dealt with going over with tours and all that kind of stuff. I did speak to fans and stuff like that from around the place, tailgating, and I've got to know an awful lot of just locals in Green Bay from the endless time that I go over back and forward. And every single one of those people said the exact same thing. That Aaron Jones was one of a kind. He would call you sir. He would call you ma'am. He was super polite. He really cared for the community. He really cared for the team. And that's quite evident when we go down through his character, exactly what he was like. One person told me that, you know, his parents, particularly his mother, would always try to keep Aaron's best interest at heart because his heart was so big. That he would give everything away. He'd give you the shirt off his back. And that, you know, when it came to do fan meets and sign-ups and signings and all that kind of stuff, is that his mother had to be the one to sort of say, right, you know, let's not give this away for free here. And she was a bit more stringent with it. A lovely, lovely woman. And his father was a lovely man as well. May he rest in peace. But the one thing we heard about him was that. Just an incredible guy. And we saw that. An awful lot of the UK Packers fans met him when we went over. And I think it's when you couple the... And we'll get into his stats on the field and we'll talk about all that stuff. But when you talk about the man that he was and what he meant to the team and just how pivotal he was, there's some stuff that's intangible, and that was one of them. I mean, just look at his origin story. You know, drafted behind Jamal Williams. He was on the depth chart behind him. Got his chance. And when he got that chance, unrolled with it. And he was a diminutive guy. What is he, 5'9"? You know, didn't really stand out. His beautiful personality as such. You know, you notice the Jamal Williams and you notice the Odell Beckham Juniors and the Aaron Rodgers and the Jair Alexanders. They're rah-rah guys to a large extent. Or they put themselves out there. They sort of, you know, curate this image and this bravado. And there's none of that with him. And I think that's why, when he was getting the numbers that he did. And Devontae Adams kind of was that to a degree as well. Now, again, self-confident guy, but it took the league an awful lot of time to sort of catch on. So that's what it was with Aaron Jones. And particularly when you looked at the draft and when he came out, there was character concerns. And I know you'd look back and go, what? Was there? I don't remember them being character concerns, but he was arrested for a DWI, drink driving, with UTEP in 2016. Now, it came to nothing in the end. There was nothing brought against him. I think he ended up doing some sort of program or something and it was expunged from his record. But he ended up being one of the most charming and respectful lads that we've ever met. You know, there's endless stories. You know, he gets off a plane, he's a Packers player, he's humble, he's no ego. And then there's a woman in a wheelchair who gets off the plane and she's no one to help her with her bags. Who's seen wheeling this woman without the fanfare through the airport? Aaron Jones. And you know, it comes out and gets released in social media. He only realizes when he gets home, and he gets all the plaudits for it. But even when they spoke to him about it, he just didn't understand the big hoopla about it. He was like, who cares? Another story that stands out to me from his career in Green Bay was where he was in a game, and I want to talk about his injury history a little bit later, because you know, people are saying a number of different things about him that are just flatly false. One of them is that, oh, he's washed now, he's, you know, but look at his averages, the guy is ridiculous, but he has suffered an awful lot of injuries. But one of those where he was absolutely smashed on a play and he wanted a penalty flag from the ref. It was a dodgy play. He ended up on a walking boot, missing games, And during that tackle on the field, he gets up and he lets the refs have it. I mean, he's cursing at them, cussing at them, whatever you want to call it, effing and jeffing. And then maybe half a minute later, he decides, I need to go back onto the field here and talk to these refs. He goes back onto the field and apologizes to the refs and said, here, you know, that wasn't right of me to give you that abuse. I mean, what player in the right mind gets creased thinking that this is a considerable injury? You know, dogs into the refs because he didn't even get a flag for it, and then decides that he needs to go over and empathize with the referee. You know, and this, in that article, it talks about, you know, the refs are looking at him like, Jesus, this guy picked up a head injury as well, because this isn't pretty typical of a football player to come over and say it. But to have that presence of mind, because we can't forget that this was the guy, he was the face of the franchise when it came to all things community and all things sportsmanship and all things charity. He was constantly up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for the Packers. He was up for the Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award multiple times for the Packers. And he was very conscious of that. And his whole family, I mean, look, he came from UTEP, which is a military college. His dad was in the military. His mom was in the military as well. And, you know, people have mixed feelings about it, right? You know, I know Americans take an awful lot of pride, and all the Americans listening, in the military and veterans and stuff like that. And I know it's a sticky wicket because people, you know, try to read a lot into it. But I come from a military background and family as well. And where it rings true with this guy is just the respect, you know, just the serving others portion of it. You know, he's volunteering at a young age. He was doling out Thanksgiving tanks, giving dinners to needy people. His mother and father, you know, career military, raised him that way. Just a lovely story. And it's just a laundry list of wonderful causes that he did. You know, the Packer Salute to Service, where he was sending videos and speaking with the youth at military academies and camps and sending videos to veterans. Huddle for Heroes, where he visits service members in hospitals and military bases. In Green Bay and in Milwaukee, they have this thing called the Boys and Girls Club. He'd help out there and speak to those guys and do camps. He'd visit children in hospitals who were facing health problems or have a video chat with them. And he had his own charity called the A&A All The Way Foundation, named after himself and his brother Alvin Jr., himself a football player, founded about 4 years ago. And they do all of these football camps, and it's all non-profit, and the whole family would chip in. Then there was that heartbreaking story of when his father passed away. And again, his father was just meant to be like him, you know, just set the example, nicest dude ever, raised him the right way. And there was that sort of really heartwarming story where his father was cremated, and he got some of his father's ashes and he put them in a little sort of football necklace, and he ended up losing it. He'd wear it every game. It was very precious to him. And he lost it in the end zone. I think it was Flea, the kick guy, went out and found it for him again. You know, the other ones that are funny of the sombrero and the sort of positive, you know, optimistic attitude on the sidelines. He'd have his ski shades on because the future was bright. We saw him picking up his teammate literally when he was down, and he ran onto the field, and the, I can't remember what player it was now, but had his head down. He literally goes out and raises his head, you know, and it was just that kind of display, not done for the cameras. That's just the type of guy he was. The coaches apparently absolutely loved the guy for his attitude. They always said he gave 110% in training. And it's little telltale signs like that. You know, it's the charitable stuff. It's pushing old ladies in wheelchairs across airports and not looking for applause for it. It's when he got injured. He's at the sidelines and he couldn't have cheered louder for Jamal Williams or any of his teammates. There was no friction there. There was no jealousy there. He was totally behind the team. And he really put his money where his mouth was. You can never doubt, because look, we get it on this side of the pond all the time. Premier League players, they pick up and they kiss the badge. You know, famously, there was a football player for Ireland, Robbie Keane, and he went to about a million different clubs. And every club he went to was like, this is, I always dreamt about Tottenham when I was a little boy. He'd moved to LA Galaxy. Oh, he dreamt about LA Galaxy when I was on the mean streets of Dublin when I was a little boy. All nonsense, right? But Aaron Jones literally took millions of a pay cut to stay in Green Bay, particularly the last one, because people are looking at it and go, God, this guy could command such an amount of money elsewhere. You know, still in his prime, his stats have been always fantastic, and he wanted to retire a Packer. And that's where we kind of get a little bit, you know, into a grey area, because we see him liking some tweets that are not very optimistic or casting the Packers or the front office in a good light. But up till now, you'll notice that none of this chat has been about his stats. It's not stat-based, because this guy was an MVP off the field as well as he was on it, and he was just a truly, truly great guy. When it came to, you know, yards per carry, he averages 5 yards per carry in his career, which is just mind-blowing, really. You say to yourself, you give him the ball twice, you've got your first down. Aaron First Down Jones, just so consistent, you know, so deceptive. He could do it time and again, no fanfare, doesn't need to be this big bruising back like Derrick Henry. And more than anything else, the Matt LaFleur offense is predicated on the run. And when he was on the field and when he wasn't injured, he would spark the Packers offense into life. I did a breakdown on a podcast a while ago, just sort of jumping into the stats behind all of that. In a run-first offense, he was the cornerstone, he was the keystone, and he made teams respect the play action. Which is why when he's gone, and I know we've got a fantastic player in Josh Jacobs, and I will get into that in a few seconds, but it's just to have someone who just fit the scheme, knew where to go, knew everybody else's part, kept everybody together, was the spark when he got out on the field, could do it time and time again. And yes, you'll have the ghouls out there who are banging on about fumbles and this, that, and the other. Look, there was some inopportune fumbles, but I would not put that onto Aaron Jones. The guy was a consummate professional and just a fantastic person. And I'm really, really sad that he's gone. And anytime I could get stuff in for the signed merch draw, I'd always get Aaron Jones stuff in. And I don't think that's going to stop, because I just think that he's so important. I don't think he's the type of guy to slight the Packers by going to the Vikings, but he obviously has to get behind the horrible purple team, because that's who he plays for now, and he's a loyal type of guy. And I think he probably feels a little bit wronged at the end with the Packers, because it was this whole story about, you know, the Packers were in discussions with him. They gave him a final offer. Aaron Jones and his team came back with a counter offer, and they said, no, that was the final one. See ya. And it was only after that point that they decided to go on and pursue Josh Jacobs. Now, he liked a tweet that said, oh, well, apparently there's three sides to every story now. So there's obviously some stuff going on there. So stat-wise, how important was Aaron Jones in Green Bay? What are the stuff that he accomplished? Well, he goes down in the all-time list. He goes down in the all-time list not only for Green Bay, but also NFL-wide. He's number 3 in franchise history in rushing yards and number 3 in 100-yard rushing games with 20. He's got nearly 6,000 rushing yards for the Packers, and he was number 4 in rushing touchdowns. Not only that, but Dan Daly, per Dan Daly on sports. Get off the sports, will you, Dan? There's only 14 other running backs in NFL history who've matched his touchdown total, which is 45 rushing touchdowns, 18 receiving touchdowns. And just like you heard Baldy say, the receiving threat that this guy had was just absolutely bonkers. So yeah, it's just he's gonna be missed. And I want to get into stats a little bit, and I want to get into injuries and stuff like that a little bit. And I want to get into some of the stuff that he's liked and all that. But at the end of this segment, I just want to say a massive thank you to Aaron Jones. And I think that if you wear an Aaron Jones jersey, you get Aaron Jones merch, I think you can still be proud of the fact that he was a Packer for so long and really gave his all to this team. And he's going to be one of those unique players, I think, kind of like when Jamal Williams went to the Detroit Lions to a degree, is that despite him being on the opposite sideline, is that you'll always kind of personally root for the guy. And again, look, he's going to a situation where they had Kirk Cousins and they've moved him on, so there's a bit of flux there. So will it mean that he'll go to an inferior team? Obviously an inferior team, but a team that he might be relied upon. To be honest, there's no better guy to go in and do it. So, anyway, that's me on Aaron Jones. Stick around and we'll do a comparison.
Man.
Right, so let's talk about stats between the two guys, Josh Jacobs versus Aaron Jones. I mean, it's scary. It's scary how similar these guys are. There's 2 years in the difference. So Aaron Jones has 2 years up on Josh Jacobs, bearing in mind that 2017, you know, he started 4 games, played in 12. Aaron Jones did. So 2017 wasn't sort of a full year. But that being said, both of these players have only had one season where they played all games, and that was 2022. And the 2022 year for these two guys are very similar in being that they got their most receiving yards in 2022 each. So Josh Jacobs had an absolutely ridiculous 2022. He had 1,653 with a long of 86. Receiving numbers are good. His touches were through the roof, 393, which far eclipses anything that Aaron Jones has ever done. And his yards from scrimmage in that year was 2,053. And he won all kinds of accolades and awards. Aaron Jones had a pretty good 2022 himself, 1,121 rushing yards, 1,516 yards from scrimmage, which was his second biggest total yards from scrimmage. But look, the two of these guys, they're extremely, extremely similar. Apart from the 2 years that separate them, both have over 5,500 rushing yards for their career. Aaron Jones has more, but he's been playing 2 extra years. He has 5,940, whereas Josh Jacobs has 5,545. Josh Jacobs has, and Aaron Jones have ridiculously almost identical touchdown, rushing touchdown numbers. Josh Jacobs has 46. Aaron Jones has 45. If you look at their stats, both are receiving running backs with really, really eerily similar target numbers. So that was one thing that I was focusing on, because I know Aaron Jones is such a good receiver. There's one catch that will remain burned into my brain for all eternity, which was where he had this receiving, diving, going back on his arse catch, like in the air. It was just insane. I must try to dig it out and find out what play it was. But Josh Jacobs comes down with similar ones. They've similar receiving yard numbers, similar catch percentages, and Josh Jacobs' catches more and has a better catch percentage. But again, it's a hair's breadth between the two. Both these players had a down year last year in 2023. So Josh Jacobs came off a stellar 1,653 rushing yards, literally halved it to 800 last year. And the same can be said about Aaron Jones. He had 1,121 rushing yards last year, and he'd 656. So again, even that theory that their you know, rushing yards basically got carved in half. They're very similar fumble numbers. Josh Jacobs doesn't have the level that Aaron Jones did, because last year in 2022 he had massive production, but he had 5 fumbles. Whereas compare that to Josh Jacobs, the highest number of fumbles that he's ever had is 3. Similar totals, you know, between all the guys. If you look across the total column, very, very similar. But the thing obviously that stands out is that Josh Jacobs is younger, and he's done all of these things 2 years quicker than Aaron Jones has. The thing that really stands out to me is the attempt numbers. The number of attempts that, rushing attempts that Josh Jacobs has had far eclipses what Aaron Jones has had sort of year on year. You know, you look at Josh Jacobs, he doesn't go below 217. It's all above that. Whereas when you look at Aaron Jones, he's had years where he's had 81, 133, 201, 171, and then last year, 142. So again, the amount of times that they've used Josh Jacobs, you know, and then it makes sense that he's getting that production. And then his touches and his yards from scrimmage are, for Josh Jacobs, are just absolutely out of this world. His touches, his touch high was in that breakout year in 2022. He had 393 touches, which is just insanity. The highest that Aaron Jones has ever got was 285 back in 2019. So it's, when you look through the numbers alone, it becomes clear that, okay, I've talked about Aaron Jones and just how his intangibles are massive for me. You know, everything that he does around the team. It doesn't bode well that Josh Jacobs had his down year, his worst year for rushing yards last year, and now we bring him in. But there's, you know, obviously reasons, and we could dig into that, but let's not. So you can see that it's kind of getting just a younger Aaron Jones and a guy who's had just a potentially a higher ceiling. Now, that might be unfair because it's very hard to compare the two, because you look at the, you know, quarterback that Green Bay has had and now has, and then you go to the flip side for the Las Vegas Raiders, and when he started playing for them in 2019 under Oakland, you know, it's chalk and cheese stuff, and they would have leaned on him fairly heavy. So there's an awful lot of that in it as well. However, he seems highly, highly, highly capable. And just by his fantasy numbers, is absolutely elite. So the second thing that we need to look at now, which I think factors into it, that yes, he's younger. Yes, he brings up the same production. Can he slot in the same? We hope so. Then it comes down to injuries. So let's have a look at these two lads' injuries, and you'll see that sort of more concerning pattern starts to emerge.
Don't move. Stay where you are. Take your skull.
So obviously Aaron Jones has the longer career, but he also has the highest risk between the two of injury and projected chance of injury. In fact, per the injury report on Draft Sharks, his chance of injury in 2024 is 87%. Now, that seems very high, but when you look at Josh Jacobs, he's also a high risk with 61%. They have him the chance of Josh Jacobs getting injured per game is 5.4%, whereas Aaron Jones is 11.3%. They project both players to miss over two games in 2024. And let's dig into why. Josh Jacobs' injury history, you could put on basically one hand. And it's all, I'll get into it, but it when you look at the injuries, it's not all that concerning. When you look at the rap sheet that poor Aaron Jones has had, it seems much worse. Now, Aaron Jones came out, and I'll talk about this after, you know, retweeting a tweet to show how many games he's missed and how many games Josh Jacobs has missed. Now, other guys are on the list, so it doesn't look like too much of a slight, but it shows that Josh Jacobs has missed more games, allegedly, than Aaron Jones. So let's talk about Josh Jacobs' injuries. So once he got into the NFL in 2019, and in 2019, he fractured his shoulder. And he was out for week 14 against the Titans, and then he missed the final two games of the season with that injury. So again, shoulder clavicle fracture. Nearly a year to the day onwards, he sprained his ankle in week 12, and then he missed the next game. Fast forward to September the following year, he goes and gets himself an ankle injury, and he misses two games. And then September 6th, he has a toe injury, then he suffers a chest contusion in 2021 in October, and then you go forward two and a bit years, and he goes down with a quad injury in December 10, 2023, and that was week 14. So again, you look at the injuries and you see, right, we've got the clavicle injury there, we've got an ankle sprain, another ankle sprain, then it's a toe injury, then it's a rib or chest bruise, chest contusion. And then it's the quad. So I don't know whether it's a good, I always think it's sort of a better thing that they injure different parts of their body so it doesn't look recurring. And I think you're probably very familiar with Aaron Jones' injuries. And this is where you start to see the pattern and it starts to become concerning. 2017, November, he sprains his right MCL. A month later in 2017, in December, he sprains his left MCL and he misses the final game. He missed two games back in November with that. So, you know, injures it, misses two, comes back, sprains the other one. So you're like, Jesus. So in July 2018, he misses a bit of training camp with his first hamstring issue. Then December 2018, the MCL springs up again. It's the right MCL and he misses two games. Then he strains his calf. Now, again, he's a good long stretch then. It nearly goes on for 2 years. He gets into practice. Ahead of week 7 game, and then he misses two games with a calf strain. Then he has a chest injury in that championship game against the Buccaneers and goes off. So again, it's sort of a once off and then the season's over. Anyway, so 2021 in August, he has a hamstring injury. He misses some training camp. And this is where we see the MCL sprain come back again, and it's in his right knee. And he misses one game in 2021, in January 2022. It's a knee strain, again, a knee injury. And he misses week 18's game against the Lions. Then November 6, 2022, it's an ankle sprain again. He gets on that walking boot. And then September 10th, 2023, it's the second hamstring issue against the Bears. And then November 19th, it is a left MCL sprain. And he misses three games. So with Aaron Jones, you have left MCL going all the way back to 2017, right MCL going back to 2017, and then the left and right MCLs start causing him trouble throughout his career. Then we see the hamstring injuries being brought into it as well, and the ankle sprains. So, you know, he has had an awful lot of damage, particularly to that right side. So you can see the durability issues. And if one thing fits into Gudekunst's sort of mantra, it is, you know, go for young players who have their career ahead of them. And with Aaron Jones, when you look at the MCL history there and the amount of money that he was probably commanding, it is a big risk. And we know that Goody is, especially in recent years, risk averse when it comes to signing age players. I think when you get over a certain age, he Leonardo DiCaprio's it, and he'd rather let you go than sign you again. So that is that, and that's the way it appears. Now, what I hate seeing is that I don't like seeing tweets and people going and trying to defend themselves to Twitter trolls and all that kind of stuff. But that's exactly what we saw from Aaron Jones. And he seems to hint at the fact that he was kind of wronged on the way out the door. Now, is that a reason why you then went and signed for the Vikings? I don't think he's a spiteful dude. He's to put food on the table. He obviously got a good enough deal with the Vikings that he deemed, you know, was worth it. But let me just go through one or two of the tweets and just sort of, I don't know, express the disappointment. And then we're going to get on to Devondre Campbell and talk about his absolute shenanigans. Aaron Jones pitches way up.
Offense was able to move. He changed a lot of the way we operated when he was in there and when he was healthy. I think for us, it's finding a way to keep him out there and keep him healthy. He's such an influential leader in our locker room. He's just really kind of the heartbeat of our team. So that's kind of the anticipation, is that he'll be back.
Brutal. So they're putting that out. That's on February the 24th, you know, talking about bringing him back, and that's what he expected. He's a consummate Packer. And then you scroll forward a little bit, and you know, there's another tweet there to say the top 10 in running back yards per carry all time, and Aaron Jones is sixth with 5 yards per carry in his whole career, which is just absolutely bonkers. And then the next thing you see, David Bakhtiari's saying, look, we're gutted for you, you know, it was great to ride with you. It's a shame that you're going. And it's all love, you know. It's him retweeting, you know, top franchise history player in this, that, and the other. It's all great. And then Rasul Douglas quote tweets and said that he's mad for him because he was the definition of what a Packer is. And then Rob Domofsky put out a tweet to say the Packers didn't set out to sign a big name running back, but when talks with Aaron Jones and a pay cut broke down, they quickly pivoted over the weekend and decided to go after free agent Josh Jacobs. And then Aaron Jones quote tweeted that with a laughy emoji and said every story has three sides to it, which is telling. So then it goes on to him retweeting stuff about going to the Minnesota Vikings. Then Haha Clinton Dix talking about how, you know, it's not always bitterness that causes a player to go to a division rival. Sometimes it can mean that your family doesn't have to move that far and you still go and get paid. And he was sort of saying, look, appreciate it. But the real horrible one, I think, for me is that some lad put up, some troll said, my running back is finally good and has a hairline too. Ugh, just going after. The stats speak for themselves. He's one of the best all time in Green Bay and top all time behind like Barry Saunders and everybody else. Sanders, I should say. And to come out and say this nonsense, and you'd expect Aaron Jones to just ignore it because he wasn't even tagged in it. It was Green Bay Packers putting out the announcement of Josh Jacobs and then this guy putting out that crappy tweet and then Aaron Jones saying, ain't too many to do this, and he puts out his sort of stats. And it's just really horrible that someone has to try to come out and justify what they did in Green Bay. And I hope that's not the impression that he takes, because he was a hero in Green Bay, and I think people really did appreciate him, and it did break people's hearts that he was gone. But speaking about having the Twitter meltdown, let's move over to Devondre Campbell, because some stuff should be better left unsaid.
Gentlemen, mount your Roadmaster bicycles.
So Devondre Campbell, remember, was the guy who got into trouble last time for saying, you know, look, I'm not going to, you know, cover for anybody anymore. I'm not going to do what, you know, I'm not going out of my way to do stuff and all this. So there was something going on behind the scenes with Joe Barry and all that. And Devondre Campbell kind of reveals that, right? Go to his Twitter, and from March 17th onwards, he starts kind of rebutting what people are saying, and some of this got quite big coverage. So this guy put out a play and sort of because Devondre Campbell starts saying that he was being misused, and this guy put out this play and said, misused, look, you're missing this tackle or whatever. So he comes out then and starts saying, this is a busted coverage, and, you know, it wasn't even me who was supposed to make the play. It's Jonathan Owens, and you can see him being shouted at this play. And his justification for coming out and kind of blasting it is to say, you know, he's put up with stuff for the longest time. He's not going to take blame. He doesn't work for the organization anymore. So when he sees false information, he's going to go after it, right? And then Adrian Amos comes out and joins in the fun, and he goes, oh, look, you know, they're getting mad at me for telling the truth. But it just seemed like a really sort of, I don't know, like, why some Twitter troll who you know was clueless has put it out, and your ego causes you to go and, you know, trash the play. That's all fine. But the call out players, and the big one is this one for me. He says, listen, if I would have listened to half the stuff they were telling me, I would have never went all pro. All year, all I heard was, can you do this? It'll help the scheme. I kept saying no all year. And look what happened. First team all pro. Fast forward to 22-23 season, I tried to be a team guy and play within the system and do what they asked and be more visual on the quarterback and not look up routes. Back up from the line of scrimmage, so I'm not pressing every wide receiver or tight end. And look what happened. They had me and Quay out there looking clueless. Shake my head. So basically what he's saying is that it's this is what it sounds like. It's all about him. He wants to go all pro. Screw him. I'm not listening to them. I'm going to do my own thing. Now, look, I get it, right? You're paid a job. You need to come in. You have to not give yourself a bad name. You have a reputation to upkeep and all that kind of jazz. But again, we saw a player with the Packers go through this. They were using Preston Smith in coverage, the exact same. And I don't think it was ever in question that Joe Barry wasn't utilizing his players correctly. Now, Devondre Campbell did take an awful lot of heat online about how he fell off, and that's him trying to justify it. But it seems to me he's kind of saying, all the good stuff was me, and all the bad stuff, that was the coaching staff. You know, I don't think it needs to be said that the coaching staff were really, you know, not doing a good job there. Now, he talks about that they, you know, they picked up because he went to Matt and he had a big chat with Matt and sort of said to him, here, you know, what did he say here? Having private meetings with Matt, telling him that we needed to be more aggressive. We needed more man and we needed to blitz more. And then what happened? They listened to him and then they all start playing well again. You know, it just stinks of like everything bad wasn't me, everything good, you know. And look, the thing is, look, maybe there's an element of truth to that, but I just think it's a bad look. It's a bad look to come out on Twitter and start trying to blast people. Because he comes out then after that and says, look, I love that the fans love me. He spent 3 years in Green Bay and they were special. It's the best organization he's ever been with and all that kind of jazz. But again, do you feel, let me know what you think. Do you think he needed to come out and say it? You know, like he's talking about not being bitter, but then he is after coming out. And then, of course, Rasul Douglas comes out and says, oh, look, he's going off on one. And he said, oh, you know, don't touch me. I don't care. You know, so I don't know. It's a bad look for a player to come out and trash other players, name call, say everything I was doing was great, everything they were doing was crap. You know, it's a bad look. But anyway, onwards and upwards for the Niners. I did really enjoy him playing in Green Bay. He had his struggles, but again, I think a lot of us put it down to the defense. And then also, you know, Joe Barry's not there to make you miss tackles. And there's a couple of missed tackles going on as well. But Devondre Campbell was an incredible player and a great story as well. But again, like people pointed out, you know, like he struggled sort of in his career. He went to Green Bay, had a resurgence. According to him, that's all him. And then, you know, he ends up struggling again. And then that's not his fault. So look, we'll see what the new defensive coordinator brings. But to go out on Twitter and to start trashing people like that is something else. Anyway, I want to end on kind of a happy note. So we put this out and it performed pretty well because it seemed to resonate with people. So that's why I thought I'd bring it up on the podcast. So there was a TikTok that was put out that we went and, you know, circulated on air Twitter. And it was about who can drink more. Is it the Brits or is it the Americans? And this is what the TikTok had to say about it.
Who could outdrink who? The Americans or the Brits?
Oh, the Brits would outdrink them.
The UK.
Look, as long as the state of Wisconsin exists, as long as Wisconsinites have blood coursing through their body, as long as they are alive, this statement is not true. That entire state on their own can wipe out the entire UK when it comes to alcohol and beer. Beer especially. In fact, in 2022, when London held the NFL game, it was the Packers. And I guess the Packers fans drank London dry. people literally were uploading pictures from London. Wisconsinites were uploading pictures. The cheeseheads were drinking the bars dry. Okay, 1.5 days. If you don't know, the cups mean that the drafts are empty. 1.5 days is all it took. Just Google Packers fans drinking London dry. You'll see little reports on it. They went out there and they wiped the UK of beer. They are the drunkest state in the entire country, with 41 of 50 of the drunkest counties being in Wisconsin. So as long as they exist, my money will always be on them.
She's not wrong. She's really not wrong. Look, and I understand it, right? Because I'm an Irishman, and you know, drinking in Ireland to some people, not all, because I don't want to perpetuate that nonsense, right? But like, I've had friends who all they do all day long is drink. In fact, I had a guy who was living in Canada, and he came down to watch a game on our annual trip, and he never even made the game. He was so ossified drunk. Yet, you know, Wisconsinites, Green Bay Packer fans go out drinking all day and they show up for the game. Not a problem, right? And I've been in the stadium and I see lads absolutely off their face. It is not a secret that the Wisconsinites absolutely could outdrink anybody. And if you feel like you're up for the task, and there's only one man that I know who could probably do it, come over to Green Bay with us, get into Patreon, get your free trip. Come on over and have a drinking competition with some of these people from Wisconsin. I swear to you that there's no way. And I see the criticism already, right? You're looking at it and your ego's hurt. You're doing the Devondre Campbell on it, right? You're going to take to Twitter now and start, you know, sort of banging on about it. And you'll say, oh, well, they've got light beer, Miller Lights and Bud Lights, and it's not as much alcohol content and blah, blah, blah. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense, right? Do not try get into a drink competition with Wisconsinites. And they're very proud of this, by the way, because this took off because an awful lot of these people were sort of saying, oh, it's a proud moment for me. Go, Pack, go. And it's true. These people just, it's unbelievable. Kindred spirits. It's the best place to be on game day. Tailgating is an experience in itself. Even if you didn't have tickets for the bloody game, I'd go and go tailgating. It's absolutely insane. Anyway, look, I didn't get time to get around to Xavier McKinney. I'll get that on the next podcast. But again, there's really exciting stuff coming up. The free trip to Green Bay, patreon.com/UK Packers. Stay tuned to all the social channels for all that's coming up. And again, the draft guide is going to be out 2 weeks before the draft is done. That's only in a couple of weeks time, and again, it's absolutely quality, jam-packed full of stuff. So anyway, that's me at @DDDNFL. Oh, by the way, do me a favor, go to YouTube, because I'm going to be uploading more stuff there, youtube.com/UK Packers. Please subscribe to the channel, because it really helps, and you know, it boosts my confidence. Let's just say, come on, if you like me, do it. Anyway, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.